You're listening to Teach Me the Bible podcast. Our mission is to help the people of God understand the Word of God. Join us each Monday and Thursday for new episode releases. Listen to our full library of content at teachmethebible.com or by downloading the Teach Me the Bible app from any app store. You're listening to Teach Me the Bible podcast.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to our Genesis series. We are just trekking along through Genesis, almost chapter by chapter. And today we're going to cover two chapters in chapter 13 and 14. And so we were introduced to Abraham last week, who God has promised to make into a great nation. He's going to make his name great, in contrast to all the families of the earth who have become other nations, not on the Lord's team, so to speak. But Abram is going to be a special nation, a great nation that's going to represent the Lord. And so we're going to kind of watch his story play out and sort of watch, I guess, what happens next in the story. So you want to take us away in 13? And
yeah. So, well, 13 follows 12.
Right. There it is.
so in chapter 12, verse 9, right? So Abram journeyed on toward the Negev, and there was a famine in the land, so he goes down to Egypt, and what we talked about last week with that, the story's doing a lot of things. It's explaining to the reader in very clear terms, what does it mean to bless Abram? Mm-hmm. Does it mean to give him a bunch of stuff? Well, no, because right. You know, Pharaoh actually does that, gives him a bunch of stuff, but the Lord struck Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarah. And so you're learning that, wait a second, a promise to Abram is a promise to Sarah. Don't touch mm-hmm. Sarah or Sarai. And so now we're back with Abram. He's journeying back from Egypt. And so he went up from Egypt to the Negev. He's going right back to where he came from, and his wife and all that belonged to him and Lot with him. And Abram was very rich in livestock and silver and gold. And he went on his way of his journeys from the Negev as far as Bethel, to the place where his tent had been from the beginning, between Bethel and Ai, and to the place of the altar which he had made formerly. And Abram called on the name of the Lord again. So he called, he called upon the name of the Lord. And Lot went with Abram, and also his flocks and his herds and his tents. So the land could not sustain them while dwelling together, for their possessions were so great that they were not able to remain together. And there was a strife between the herdsmen of Abram's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. Now the Canaanite and the Perizzite were dwelling in the land. Then Abram said to Lot, please let there be no strife between me and between you, and between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brothers. And of course, this is all interesting language, mm-hmm. you know, that you're tracking this enmity and two sides, and now
in this one family,
Abram, yeah, and this stuff's coming up, and
right.
And so then Abram said to Lot, please let there be no strife. So verse 9, is not the whole land before you? Separate from me. If to the left, I will go to the right, and if to the right, I'll go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and saw that the valley of the Jordan was tov. It was well watered, is how they translate this, that he, and, you know, of course, we've heard this this language before, and it's not good language, right?
Good thing,
you
right.
know, and so, and so, you know, this lifting up your eyes and looking and making determination, and mm-hmm. you know, that's not probably the way to go. And so this was before the Lord had destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, and it was like a garden of the Lord. And so Lot chose for himself the valley of the Jordan, and he journeyed eastward. Thus they separated from each other. And this goes back to the journeying eastward mm-hmm. that has been happened before. You know, yeah. they cast out of the garden, and mm-hmm. then they journey eastward and build the— So journeying eastward isn't such a great thing here. And
right.
Abram settled in the land of Canaan, while Lot settled in the cities of the valley. And he moved his tents as far as Sodom. And now the men of Sodom were wicked exceedingly and sinners against the Lord. And the Lord said to Abram, after Lot separated from him, now lift up your eyes and look from the place which you're standing. You know, look to the north and the south and the east and the west. For all the land which you see, I've given to you and to your seed forever. and I will make your seed as the dust of the earth. There's three different ways that this is, this, you know, Abram's seed is talked about. And one is here, the dust of the earth. And if you track this language, the other is like the stars of the heavens, and the third is like the sand of the seashore. And I think those are intentional, right? Mm-hmm. If we just jump forward in the story and see how this language is used, this is in Daniel chapter 12. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the ground will awake to everlasting life, but others to disgrace and everlasting contempt. And so, you know, this goes back to Genesis chapter 3 and Abram's, Adam's going back to the to the dust. Dust you are, and dust you will return. Mm-hmm. I will make your seed like the dust of the ground, or the dust of the earth. That's not such a great thing.
Right.
They'll be numerous, but they'll also die.
Mm-hmm.
And those who have insight, this is back to Daniel 12:3, will shine brightly like the brightness of the expanse of heaven. And those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. I will make your seed like the stars of the heaven, mm-hmm. right? And so you have, not only will they be many, not only will they die, but through faith they will be raised to glory.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll also draw all men to himself, men from the nations to himself, from the sand of the, you know, the sand of the seashore, the, right. you know, out of the sea. And,
yeah,
and so this imagery is going to develop.
Later, yeah,
this imagery is going to develop mm-hmm. in the story. And so I will make your seed like the dust of the earth. And if anyone can number the dust of the earth, so then shall your seed be numbered. Arise, walk through the land, its length and its breadth, and I will give it to you. Then Abram moved his tent and came to dwell in the oaks of Mamre, which are in Hebron. And he built an altar there to the Lord. And it came about, just keep, mm-hmm. you know, just kind of right on rolling, because what this this chapter 14 is about is the separation, right? The separation of Lot wasn't just chapter 13,
right?
But it continues right into chapter 14, and we're working with chapter 12, right? So chapter 12, go forth from your country, from your relatives, from your father's house to a land which I'll show you, and I will make you a great nation. I will bless you, make your name great. It will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and those who curse you, I will curse. And so Lot has aligned himself with Abram.
Mm-hmm.
Abram's going to be in this mediator position in between the Lord and the people, and I will bless you. You know, so we're looking for this blessing that comes from the Lord, and that's what this, at the end of this next, this scene here in chapter 14, is going to happen. So it came about in the days of Aramphel, the king of Shinar. There was a war that breaks out, and this mm-hmm. is the first three verses. All those who came as allies into the valley, there's this war basically that breaks out, and this is going to consume the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah,
right?
And which means it's going to affect Lot, right? So mm-hmm. they took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah and all the food supply, and they departed, and they also took Lot, Abram's nephew, and his possessions, and departed, for he was living in Sodom. And so there's a scene that one of my old professors used to show, and it was this John Wayne scene where he's kind of sitting on this hill, and there's something happening down the bottom of the hill. It doesn't really affect John Wayne, but then I don't remember exactly how it goes, something like this guy then goes and he strikes this kid, and the camera goes to John Wayne. He says, "Why'd he have to go and do that?" Right. Now it's John Wayne's issue to deal with, right? Right. So and he would show it right here at this scene. You know, the point
Abram's
was
concerned.
None of this matters, right? I mean, none of this is a concern for Abram until they go and take Lot.
Yeah.
You know, and so
why'd you have to go and do that?
So now Abram, who's John Wayne, says, "Why'd they have to go and do that?"
That's
right.
Good.
Now this is Abram's problem. So they took Lot, Abram's nephew, and his possessions, and departed, for he was living in Sodom. Then a fugitive came and told Abram the Hebrew. Now he was living in the oaks of Mamre, the Amorite, the brother of Ashkol, the brother of Arnor, and all the allies with Abram. In other words, there's people aligning with Abram. And when Abram heard that his relative had been taken captive, He got his men born in his house, 318, and went in pursuit as far as Dan. Well, this is the place where Dan will be, but Dan's not Dan yet.
He's not alive yet.
Yeah, and so remember, this was written for folks who were taking the land. But even then, it's not until they take the land. And so he divided his forces against them by night, and he went up and defeated those who had taken Lot and brought back all the goods. And he brought back his relative Lot and all his possessions and all the women and all the people. And after his return from the defeat of these kings, the king of Sodom went out to meet him, right? Because, king of Sodom's like, hey, man, you won the battle for us. No, it doesn't have anything to do with you. It's just I was going down there to rescue Lot. And so he went out to meet him at the Valley of Shavah, that is the king's valley, and Melchizedek, the king of Salem. Now, we're going to run into this name later, Salem. You say, well, I don't know a place called Salem. Well, actually, this place is going to have a little longer name. Yaru is to contend for Salem. Yaru Shalom. Jerusalem is this. So this is Melchizedek. Melech is king. Zedek is righteousness. So this king of righteousness, king of Shalom, peace, went out. So he's a king and he's a priest. He brought out bread and wine. Now he was a priest of God Most High. There's a lot going on here with this Melchizedek character, who's a type of Christ who walks into the scene. He's clearly superior to Abram. Mm. He's a king and a priest, and he's going to bless Abram. He says, and he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. And he blessed, and blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand. And he gave him a tenth of all. Abram is going to pay Melchizedek a tenth of all. And of course, the writer of Hebrews is going to make a giant deal about Melchizedek in Psalm 110. Mm-hmm. And so this character that kind of walks into the scene, writer of Hebrews is going to say, with no beginning and no end, he's one of the few characters that walks into the story. You don't know where he came from, and you don't know where he's going. He doesn't have a genealogy. His death is not recorded. His birth is not recorded. Mm-hmm. But he's a king priest.
But yeah, he's in a place over Abraham.
And he's over Abraham.
He's blessing Abraham.
Yeah,
right?
And so he's blessing Abram. And so this is a type of Christ. He's the first one that in the Abram section that walks into the story that's greater than Abram, one of the only ones. The next time you see someone over his brothers or over Israel in this story is going to be Joseph. Hmm. Joseph's going, he is a type of Christ. Not after the fact, but in that he is over his brothers, and he is bringing blessing to the nations. And so the narrator is forming what to expect from this one. So the seed that's going to come out of Abram is going to be greater than Abram. And as the story progresses, and we don't know that all here,
right?
But as the story progresses, this is going to be the true king of Jerusalem, king of righteousness, king, priest of God Most High. And so Abram pays a tithe to him. And the king of Sodom said to Abram, give the people to me and take the goods for yourself. And Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have sworn to the Lord God Most High, possessor of the heaven and earth, that I will not take a thread or a sandal thong or anything that is yours, lest you say, I made Abram rich. Mm. I will take nothing except what the young men have eaten and the share of the men who went with me, Aner, Ashkel, and Mamre. Let them take their share. And so so Abram's certainly learned some things.
Yeah.
Or his actions, he didn't have a problem with taking anything out of Egypt.
Yeah.
But now he's not going to take things out of the land. And we're going to see this play out later. Israel's going to be delivered from Egypt. They're going to come out with great possessions. And then they're going to go into the land.
Try to take stuff.
But it's under the ban.
Yeah.
Right? They're not to keep the things in the land. And so this is a precursor to what's happening later in the story. And so we're walking along with Abram. The reader gets to walk along with Abram. As the reader understands what Abram is doing and what he's supposed to be doing, and since Abram is the promises to Abram are going to be given to Isaac, and Isaac to Jacob, and Jacob is going to become a nation. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you back in chapter 12. Then what Abram is doing is what Israel's to do, mm-hmm. right? What the nation is to do. And so yeah. they're to, you know, to follow what Abram, when Abram walks faithfully, yeah. they are to do the same.
And the interesting thing is that they're going to get this story right before they go into the land.
Absolutely.
And then they're going to go into the land and, you know, and then Achan's going to do the same thing and try to take possessions from that are under the ban. It starts repeating itself in a way, you know?
Yeah, yeah. That's exactly right. And so this is, you know, one of the things that happens to us is we read these stories and we think, well, that has no relevance to us, and say, well, let's remember, or there's no direct application. We try to find direct application or something. Like this, and we generalize it and spiritualize it, and mm-hmm. you know, and talk about themes and that type of stuff. These stories had direct relevance to the original reader, right? And so they were learning some things about you know, about how they are to how they're to operate in the land,
especially in relationship to these certain nations, right? Their relationship to the people in the land is going to kind of start here, right, with Abram. And, you know, they're going to learn how they ought to operate with the Canaanites, how they ought to, you know, it's different depending on the nation, right?
Yep.
Right.
Yeah. And so we're tracking along in this story. We're tracking the promise. We're looking for the seed. Lot has separated from Abram. You know, he lifted up his eyes and he saw that it was, I think I said tov. It's actually the word here is not tov, but it's well watered. In other words, he's lifting up his eyes. He's making determination according to what his eyes see. He separates from Lot, and you know, probably what Lot should have said here is you know, Abram, I don't care that there's strife between us. I'll sell all the junk. Mm-hmm. You know, I love. What Ruth says to Naomi when mm-hmm. Naomi says, go back to your people, your gods, you know. And she says, no, where you go, I go. Your people, my people, your God, my God. Where you die, I die. And, yeah. you know, and so, you know, you'll hear, and I've heard people say and have this understanding or interpretation that, you know, that Abram shouldn't have taken Lot with him. Well, think about the ramifications of that, right? That all the families of the earth will be blessed. In other words, if you align yourself with Abram and with the promise to Abram, in other words, if you were to say, okay, everybody in the world, point to the one person that there's any hope in of fixing what has gone wrong at creation, everybody would point to Abram. Mm-hmm. Where's your hope? Abram. Well, Abram's leaving. What should you do? I'm going with Abram. I will align myself with Abram. I will bless I'm going to bless Abram. In other words, I'm staying right there. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be a servant to Abram. You know, it's not, you know, well, wish him luck and let me know how that Jesus thing turns out, Abram. You know, I mean, you know, it just makes right. it makes no right. sense. And so the tension in the story, we're going to pick this up next time. The tension or the problem in this story is you're still looking for the seed. And this is going to drive kind of our next section in the story, chapters 15. And you know, 16 and 17, as we're looking for this promised seed that's coming forth from Abram and from Sarah, and we're going to learn that that Abram and Sarah come up with a different plan over there in chapter 16 that's going to be rejected by the Lord, and the plan's going to be reaffirmed in chapter 17, and that's going to flow right in through the next section of chapter, you know, 21 with the birth of Isaac,
right,
and so forth. So
yeah.
So that's where this story's headed, but stick with us. So next time we'll be in chapter 15, and that's a big chapter.
Yeah,
but
big chapter for sure.
But that's it for this time.
So it's almost like Abram in 14, especially 13, 14, is sort of learning his place, right? Learning his role as he becomes this nation. And now 15, we got to multiply seed.
Yeah.
Right? We got to watch the promise. We got to make a nation now.
Yeah. The right? plot's moved.
It's going to move and develop.
And old Lot's going to go right back to Sodom and Gomorrah.
Right.
And we're going to play this scene over again.
Yeah, we're going to see that again. Yep.
You know, because now Lot's down there in Sodom and Gomorrah. They're still as wicked as they ever were. They're, mm-hmm. you know, they're evil in the eyes of the Lord. And so the Lord says, all right, that hadn't changed. We're going to wipe them off the map. Well, should we keep this from Abram? No, because Abram is functioning as this mediator of blessing to the nations. And so, you know, let's let him in on what we're doing. And Abram says, you wouldn't wipe out the righteous with the wicked, would you? And you know, what if there's 100 righteous and he negotiates down to 10? And this is over in chapter 18 and heading into chapter 19. And Abram negotiates on behalf of the righteous, and the two messengers go and deliver Lot, yeah. righteous Lot. Yeah. And we're going to learn a lot of theology yeah. about what makes one righteous. And
right.
and that'll be, you know, so yeah. so Lot has been introduced into the story yeah. For a lot of reasons. You know, ultimately the Lot story is going to end with two nations mm-hmm. that are going to be border countries to Israel, and that we're going to pass through those nations when Israel goes and takes the land. So where did yeah. these nations come from? But there's also a mediator role that's being,
yeah.
You know, kind of explained. And so, yeah. so this story is all on the move. And we've said this every time. Keep reading. Yes. Keep reading the story. Yes. Read on ahead of where we are yeah. and see if you can make yeah. this make sense yeah. because we're just tracking. We're tracking the plot in the narrative, and yeah. and if you're reading ahead of us, mm-hmm. and that would be good.
Yeah,
then you can make some sense of it before we even get there.
Yeah, this is gonna, like we say every time, it's gonna snowball.
Yep.
It's gonna keep going. We're, I mean, there's so much about who Israel is as a nation that starts right here in
Absolutely.
These chapters. That you start to learn what it means that Israel's a servant, you know, of the Lord, and they're supposed to represent God to the nations and supposed to mediate between the nations. That's all starting with Abraham, and that's going to be also become true of the entire nation as it progresses. And so, and that's going to develop over the Pentateuch, over the first five books. A lot of that's going to happen. So, so know these details,
yep.
recognize them, because we're going to reference them a lot.
Yep, absolutely. So. Absolutely.
All right. Well, next week we will pick up in chapter 15. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you then.
For more resources, visit teachmethebible.com or download our app from any app store. You can partner with Teach Me the Bible in helping the people of God understand the Word of God by subscribing and sharing with others. Thank you for listening to Teach Me the Bible podcast.